2 minutes. Everybody knows that our first exam is going to be next week, right? Yes, amen. All right, so I want to make sure everybody was aware of that. Praise God. My exams comes pretty much 100% from the quizzes. So if you've been looking at the quizzes or taking the quizzes, you shouldn't have any problems with the exam. Amen. All right. Is the clock working? Thank you, sir. Right, how's everybody doing? Amen, amen. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. We're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for apostolic order and apostolic government, Lord God, and that we walk into it, Lord God, with the spirit of honor. And as we get into this lesson, Lord God, we thank you right now that you're going to enlighten us and bring fresh revelation knowledge to our inner man, that we may be able to walk more so in honor and, Lord God, and less in dishonor, so that, Lord God, that we can not only please you, Lord God, but, Lord God, be a blessing to the body of Christ. And, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for showing up, Lord God, and showing yourself strong on my behalf, Lord God. For, Lord, I know that if you don't show up, Lord God, I fall flat on my face. I lean and I rely totally and completely on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans, the 13th chapter. We're going to be reading in Romans 13 chapter. I want to go ahead and read from Romans 13 and 1 and probably go all the way down to probably around verse 8. Because if I don't do it now, I probably won't get a chance to go back to it, because that's going to be the very core of what we're going to be talking about today. Another thing I want to point out, I already mentioned to you about finals, so you already know about that. But simply because I desire for you to have everything you need to have by the spirit of honor, something that you can do is you can go on YouTube. And actually, Bishop Tudor Bismore has a teaching. I don't know if anybody have ever seen it, but a teaching on the spirit of honor. And it's directly out of his book. And everything that we're talking about is line upon line. So, I mean, you know, you can avail yourself to that. You know, that's available. Just type in spirit of honor or Bishop Tudor Bismore, and all of his teachings are the ones they have online. Plus, you know, I know that one for sure. Next week, I forgot to mention this to you guys after the second class. When we start this coming after the exam, we're going to be getting into honor, but we're going to be talking about pride. And a lot of what we're going to be coming from is this book here called the Overcoming Pride. And you don't have to purchase it, but it's a lot of the material that I'm going to be coming from will be coming from this book. All right, let me get into the lesson. Put this back. All right, Romans 13 and 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject or submitted to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God," or you could say are ordered of God. "Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance are the order of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." Verse 4, "For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil or walk in disobedience. Verse number 5. Therefore, ye must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, or for this reason, pay ye tribute also, for they are ministers, are God's ministers, attending continually unto this very thing. Okay, now verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, or what is owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. These scriptures here that we just read, it's talking about, number one, all power, all authority is instituted and ordained from God. He is the authority. All power and all authority comes from him. And that's very, very important that we understand that, because we're going to be talking about power structures. And one of the things I've talked about in previous lessons, we talked about ranks, levels, positions, protocol, all of these things, when understood properly, can help us to walk in honor to a greater degree. Let me read the Amplified version to Romans 13 and 1. Before I do that, let me just say this here. Power plus authority equals dominion. You know, the word power and authority a lot of times are used interchangeably, but you can have power without authority, and you can have authority without power. But when you have power and the authority, then you're able now to walk in dominion, because not only do you have the authority, but you have the power to execute that authority. You know, and that's so very important. But the only way to get that power to execute authority is you have to walk in honor. Romans 13 and 1 in Amplified Bible says, let every person be loyally subjected to the governing or the civil and spiritual authorities. For there is no authority except from God, by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. When true authority is present, order will be in place, because power is present to enforce that authority. When true authority is in place or is present, order will be in place. One of the things we said was that order is the structure of honor. You know, when a person is walking in divine order, in according to God's laws, God's precepts, according to God's government, that's so very important. Within just by the mere fact that you walk in the ordinance of God, or the order of God, will produce in itself honor, because you're walking after God. You're not usurping authority. You're not walking in pride or arrogance, but you're walking humbly before God and those people who God have appointed and assigned to you and put over you as a spiritual covering. That's so very important. Amen. God's kingdom is a kingdom of divine order, and God wants us to walk in that order. Let me read Romans 13 and 1 out of the Message Bible. Be a good citizen. All governments are under God. Insofar as is peace and order, it's God's order, or God's divine order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you are irresponsible to the state, then you are irresponsible with God, and God will hold you responsible. Dutifully constituted authorities are only a threat if you are trying to do something, you know, that's not right, or it says something that's indecent. Decent citizens have nothing to fear. So in other words, if you're walking respectfully, even in you know, police officials, governors, lawyers, you know, people who institute and enforce the laws, as long as we obey the laws of the land, we have nothing to fear. Well, That's true in the natural, but even more so in the spiritual. You know, it's so very important that we follow divine order, that we walk in obedience to God. Because the minute you do so, you open yourself up now for the enemy. You not only are you walking in disobedience, but I remember a few weeks ago I talked about, you know, you walk outside of an umbrella of protection, and now you actually fall prey to the enemy. And that's something you don't want to happen or you don't want to do. Order is the structure of honor. I'll say that again. Order is the structure of honor. When the structure of a thing is set up right, it will produce honor. When you build a house, if the structure is not sound, it's not going to bring honor or protection to the people who live on the inside. But when a house or a structure is built sound, it brings honor. It's because it's a crown over you. It's a protection. So when spiritual honor, when you walk in order, you know, and when I say order, let me give you some examples. I think I might have shared this before, but when I was a student in the school of ministry some 24 years ago, I think it was, I'll never forget this. And I shared it with you guys before, but I'm going to put it in a little bit more perspective. One of the instructors was ministering, and he was sharing, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't coming out the way he really wanted it to come out, but it was understood by most of the people. But a few people decided they was going to add their 50 cents to it. Now, this is a teaching class. It's not a dialogue or you know, with two people we interacting. You know, the instructor should be the one who's leading the class, not asking for the students' input. Well, in this particular instance, the students started to give their input. And unbeknown to several students who were in the class, because I was sitting in the back, and we used to have prayer meeting on a Saturday. And after prayer meeting, we had the school of ministry. Well, the apostle was there. Well, before he left to go back to the house, he came around the back and sat in on the back row. And while they were debating with the instructor, the minute he walked in the room, I started trembling because I knew that order was about to take place, you know. And you see, that even back then, 24 years ago, the apostolic was present, you know, because I had been a member maybe for a year, year and a half, but I knew he's not going to put up with anything that's not structured properly. You know, you have the president, who he is of the school. You have the dean right now, Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. He's the dean. You have the students, you know, and so you have the instructors, and then you have the students, you know, and everything. That's an order. That's an order. And everything should flow in that order. Well, that day it got out of order, you know, and he let it go for about 3 or 4 minutes. Then he stood up, and the person who was behind the pulpit, it was another dean at that time, he said, "Excuse me, Dean, I'm the president. I need to address this issue." And he walked up to the front, and he said, "If any student thinks that they're no more than the instructor, you know, I'll give you your money back for your school, and you can go on your merry way." You know, he says, "The students are not to correct the instructor." You know, he said, "This is not going to happen." He says, you know, he just basically laid down the law. And since then, we hadn't had any problem in that area, you know. But see, that was divine order. That was apostolic art. That was government taking place, you know. And you see, when government is flowing properly, people are going to walk in order. You see, that's engrafted on the inside of me. Those four or five, I think it actually ended up being a total of six people, never came back to the school, left the ministry, you know, and the blessings that God had for them, you know, they left it on the table, you know. But one of the things I've learned over the years, what order will do, it will locate people. Because a lot of times you may get rebuked, you may get set down, you may get put in but it's because you see when you're put in a position of authority, you have to know how to walk humbly in authority, and know your boundaries. At the same time, you're walking in honor, and you know you got backup. Because you're doing it according to proper protocol, and you're not usurping authority. And that's so very important. But anyway, let me move on, because I have a lot that I want to cover. You are required to honor by God the ranks, the levels, and the positions that God has set in the body of Christ, which is divine order and is part of God's protocol. And you know from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10, it talks about that protocol and that order and God's government. And we know that the Bible says in Isaiah how the government is upon Jesus' shoulders. But then it says here in Ephesians, it says, and he gave some apostles. First, he gave apostles. And he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And that's for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Right. You know, that's part of God's structure. And we should operate inside government, you know, according to God's structure. That's so very important. When you have true honor, the structure will be solid, because everything will be in divine order following divine protocol. When you have true honor, the structure will be solid, because everything will be in divine order according to divine protocol. Let me give you a definition of protocol. Protocol is the official procedure or system of rules governing affairs of the state of a diplomatic occasion, or rules of order, the way a ceremony or governmental rules of engagement should flow. That's protocol. The way, you know, it's from a diplomatic or governmental state, there's certain, you know, when you come before the president or the queen or somebody who's a dignitary, there's a certain protocol that has to be followed. And when you follow that protocol, you're technically walking in honor, because you're respecting. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And you see what happens when you do that? Now God is able to honor you, because when you begin to show honor, then you will be honored. You know, that's so very important. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. And it's not necessarily talking about your talent. You know, when you sow in seed, your seeds of honor will make room for you. You know, that's something I learned early on in this ministry. Your gift will make room for you. You know, but at the same time, you always want to walk humbly. You know, I stated earlier in one of the other classes, humility or walking humbly don't mean that you're walking in weakness. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but he was by no means meek or weak. You see, Moses did what thus said the Lord. See, when you walk humbly, you follow the orders given to you from the person that's over you. You know, from the apostolic government that flows down. Remember we talked about how the anointing of God always flows down? You see, when you walk honorably, you're walking according to the instructions and the mandates and the ordinances that's been flowing down from headquarters, that came down from a heaven to earth connection to us. So that you see, the Bible talks about how in God's government there's going to be peace. You see, one of the things, especially when we get new members into the church, because I teach the new members class, one of the major things a lot of new members tell me is, something about the structure of this church. Everything just is like clockwork. You know, everything is in order. You know, you drive into on the property, there's a peace. Then there's a parking lot attendant who helps you to find a spot. You walk in the door, there's somebody opening the door for you, greeting you, and then as you walk in the main sanctuary, now somebody is helping you to find a seat. That's just order. You know, there's no chaos, there's no confusion. You know, people are not lollygagging. You know, people are getting ready for the service, you know. That's because apostolic order has been established and is being followed. And guess what happens? When that happens, when the word comes forth, not only do people receive the word, but manifestation begin to take place. Because order. You see, for years, and you know, and I hate to go back in the day, but you know, coming up from you know, traditional circles, I didn't see no manifestation. You know, I saw a lot of promises, but I didn't see nothing moving nowhere, you know. But not until I got under apostolic order will I begin to see manifestations in my life, in the lives of other people. Why? Because God is a God of order, you know, and when we follow God's order, we can't help but bring honor to him and to ourselves. Amen. Let me move on. All right. Let's see. I got so many little notes here, that areas that I want to pass up because I don't have time. All right. All right. All right. Where we go here? Okay. Let's go to this one here. Just like God has set up ordinances, civil laws, and order, he also has set up spiritual laws of order. And when one gets out of spiritual order, the spirit, and walk in dishonor, there's going to be consequences that will result. Let me read that again. Just like God has set up ordinances in civil law, in other words, you know, rules and regulations set up by our government, by our city officials, ordinances of civil law and order. He also has set up spiritual law and order. And when one gets out of order, which when you get out of order, you're actually operating in disobedience. You're out of spiritual order, walking in disobedience. There's going to be consequences. Just like when you disobey the speed limit and you get caught, there are consequences. You know, spiritual things, actually, natural things really run parallel to spiritual things, because the spirit world was set up first. And then and see, that's why in Romans it talks about all power. You know, when we go back to Romans 1 and 13, where it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power or no authority but of God. Every power that's in existence is ordained of God. Police officials, governing officials, you know, mayors and governors and all of this. Why? So that there can be order in our. But you see, what happens? Whoa, I don't know if all you want to get to this, but what happens when spiritual laws are not followed, and people walk in disobedience, and sin abounds in an area, chaos, and there's no spiritual government in an area, chaos. Yes, sir. Well, we saw that yesterday, last night. If you heard the news, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, you know, there were some spiritual things that wasn't happening. You know. I remember, and I'll say this. I remember in the Gonzales area a year or so ago, the apostle made a statement that there's a lot of drug dealings going on. And he took authority over that spirit. And I remember we prayed, and we came against the spirit of drug addictions, and that every drug pusher would be put to jail, would be put to justice. And all of a sudden, all kind of arrests was made, you know, so that traffic just stopped. Why? Because you see, all of that is spiritual. Things we see in the natural, because we see them, there are spiritual implications behind that. You know, but when government is in place and a heaven-earth connection is established, you know, God, the portals of heaven are open. God gives the man of God the wisdom he needs. He gives us the instructions. And as we operate in that instruction, we can't help but be blessed. Amen. Amen. Our land and our region will be blessed when government and order is in place. Turn with me to the book of Numbers. I've talked about this, but we really never did look at it in scripture. And I want to Numbers chapter 12. and you probably know exactly where I'm going, but I want you to see it in the Bible, because it's a pivotal thing where order, where people got out of order, and the consequences arise because of disorder. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Everybody's there? We're talking about Miriam and Aaron and Moses and how God called them all on the carpet. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now, Moses was God's man. He was the one that was in control. God was speaking to him. God led him up to the top of the mountain, gave him the vision of letting his people go, told him what to do and how to do it. Okay, we all know that. Okay, but now here is... Now, they're making their way now to the promised land. They've been, you know, set out of captivity, something that they had been in for years. You know, they've been delivered out of that. But now, all of a sudden, Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses, had he not spoken also to us? And the Lord heard it. See, God will hear what you say and also what you think.
Yes, sir.
You know, so you gotta make sure. I know if anybody from Word of Life, if you were here last Wednesday, which I wasn't, but I did hear the MP3. You know, you gotta control your thought life. You know, but anyway, God heard it, and so God said, I got to deal with this, just like the apostle. During the illustration I gave you earlier, said, I got to deal with this because somebody got out of order. And you see what happens? Whew, let me go back. Hold that thought. You see, Satan got out of order in heaven, okay? And if you go back and you read in Isaiah chapter 12, I think it is, 14 or 12, 12 and 14 or 14 and 12, it talks about how, you know, how he says, I'm going to exalt my throne. Now, he led praise in heaven, but he got out of order and got into disorder. And the main reason he got out of order and out of disorder is what we're going to deal with next week. And it's called pride, you know, because pride will go before the fall. Okay. And that the scripture says that he shook up the kingdoms. In other words, the kingdoms were shaken up because he led one third of the angelic host into a cascading spiral out of order, chaos. And you see, God now is in the process in our generation, restoring order back to his kingdom. Okay. Here is a situation. God was leading his people into the promised land. And here we see God, last we said, well, God heard it. And verse 3 says, and now the man Moses was very meek. We talked about that. Above all the men upon the face of the earth, you know. And I said, meekness don't just mean weakness. Verse 4 says, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Come out, ye three. Come out from the tabernacle. And they all came out. Verse 5, and the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the midst of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came, both of them came forth. And the Lord said, hear, now this is the Lord speaking. He says, hear me now, or hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. He says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all. See, Moses was faithful in all God. In other words, everything that pertained to God, Moses was faithful to it. You know, I learned a lot from that statement. Whatever God calls you to, whatever you've been assigned to do in your ministry, be faithful to it. Be faithful to it, you know. There's rewards for faithfulness. I never like to drop an assignment. I always like to fulfill whatever I'm called to do. Let me get back to where I'm at. And the okay. verse 7. And my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Therefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And in verse 10 says, and the cloud departed from off the temple, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam and beheld she was leprous. So here again, speaking against God's man, God, one of the things we talked about, and this is another question. Like I said, if you don't remember that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed, you're going to fail the class. Another thing that will cause you to fail the class is never put your mouth on a man of God. You know, here it is. Miriam put her mouth, even though that was her, you know, Moses was her brother. She cared for Moses. You've read the book. You know where I'm coming from with that. You know, she was the Bishop Tudor Bismarck said she was Moses' chief intercessor. She watched over him, you know, all through those years. But you see, there's a difference between natural ties and spiritual ties. And you got to know how to separate and not cross the line just because I got some natural ties. You know, because God appoints whomever he appoints, you know. That's why it's so important not to become too familiar with your man of God. You know, that's why you can't, because you can't see him as just a natural man. That's a man of God anointed by God, appointed by God, you know. And we got to respect and honor the gift that God has put in our midst, you know, if we want to receive the benefit, the blessing, the mantle that God has for us. One of the things Bishop Tudor Bismarck says, that God will always place a man in a region to help to meet the needs that's in that region. You know, God has put the apostle in this region and given him the message and the vision of money coming to the body of Christ so that we can walk in prosperity. And not only just that, but that health coming to the body of Christ. So not only can we're walking in wealth, but we're walking in health so we can enjoy the wealth. Because if you can have health, you can have wealth and die in a sickness and not enjoy the wealth. You know, so I mean, it's a total package. Amen. All right, let's move on. Okay, I want to point out, Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian women. She showed dishonor toward Moses. She dishonored God's man, and God dealt with it. You know, when you dishonor and disrespect people God has appointed, the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. You know, there's consequences. That's dishonor, you know, a very, very dangerous thing. This is what the Bishop Tudor Bismarck states. He says, even secular rulers placed in this world, you know, police forces, political forces have been placed there by God to execute on God's behalf and to enforce God's kingdom so that the demonic spirits will not advance. If people don't understand these power structures that are in place, they will reap to themselves, he says, damnation. If you don't understand the power structures, and especially the spiritual power structures, well, we know what happens if you don't respect. There are people who walked away from a blessing and the consequences in their lives were dire because of a dishonor and not recognizing what they had before them. You know, and one of the things I want to make clear in this class, we need to understand what we have before us and cherish the gift, honor the gift, you know, because the benefits are godly. Amen. All right. Okay, I wanted to read this earlier, but I'm going to read it now. Romans 13 and 1 through 8, which we read earlier. That's where I read it first. This series of verses is so important when you begin to understand how honor is released, because we must also understand the variables in terms of the power and the authority, the protocol, and how to respect what God has authorized in the earth. In the military, there are certain protocols that must be followed. If we, and when they're not followed, there's quick disciplinary action. If you leave a military base and you're not on leave and you're not authorized to leave the base, that's known as being AWOL. You know, you're absent without authorization. You know, you're AWOL. You know, there's consequences. And you're going to be disciplined for it. And if you continue to not follow the military procedure that's been dictated to you, you'll get what is known as a dishonorable discharge, because you did not show honor, you know. And I think I mentioned to you guys, you know, a good movie to watch when you don't have nothing to do that talks about honor and protocol is A Few Good Men. You know, it really breaks some things down when you really look at it, and it's something I think that would be a blessing. Amen. Yeah. All right. What I want to do now is we're going to kind of get into what tribute is, what customs are, what fear is, you know, what honor is. Okay, giving tribute to whom tribute is due. Tribute means that we must honor the laws of the land. Tribute means taxes, duty, certain levels of structure when in civil government. Paul says we have to honor the government, honor the laws of the land. Many times people, when individuals visit a country, and even though they might be gifted, you know, anointed, but if you don't know the laws of that country and the protocol of that country, you will not be accepted, and you'll dishonor the country, and your anointing levels will go down, because you dishonored the country and not followed the protocols. I remember when the apostle went to Brazil. I never forget. I think it was Bishop Dan Robinson actually flew out a week or several days before they went to Brazil, just to kind of get the lay of the land and understand, you know, the dynamics of where they were going, what they needed to do. So when the apostle came, he could inform him, this is the way the structure flows here. You know, because when you're in another country, you have different customs, different ways people do things, and you have to honor their customs. And that's so very important. Let's go to the next one. It's actually customs. Giving customs to whom custom is due. This means honoring the people and their land and their customs. Anytime you go to any place in the world, and you might have tremendous anointing. I'm just reading from the book. This is what Bishop Tudor Bismarck said. If you dishonor the people and their customs, provided that their customs don't violate scripture requirements for life, if you violate their customs, your anointing level will go down, and you're going to be ineffective. When I go into the prison, I have to know what, number one, who's in authority, which are the prison guards there, and you know, Brother Nettles, he comes in. Sometimes we'll be ministering. One of the guards will come in and says, I need to do a count. That means you back away from the pulpit, give it over to him, and he'll start saying, camp one, and he'll start acting. People raise their hand, he'll count, he'll say camp two or whatever, you know, and he'll make sure that he's got the count right. He's got to make sure that everybody's accounted for, and then he'll turn it back over to you. But you can't say, I'm in the middle of ministering right now. You're just going to have to wait, you know. We will not be in that facility anymore, you know, because there's a protocol that has to be followed, you know. I'm going to give you an illustration. My time's running low, but this is funny, and I want to say it, anyway, I'll just say it the best way I can. There was some missionary. I read a book once. There were some missionaries who was doing missionary work in a third world country, kind of a tribal type country, and they were doing a good work, and God was blessing. People were, you know, being delivered and saved. And they were living in a tent. Most of the people in that area lived in tents, huts, or whatever. And they were husband and wife. So one night, they decided to have a relationship. Okay? You know what I mean. And anyway, somebody from that tribe was looking for them. And like I said, they had a tent. Okay? They, without knocking, the tent was closed. They kind of went in inside, saw. But what they saw was not according to their custom. Okay? It was not the way they customarily have relationships with, you know, in their culture. It dishonored them. He went and told the leadership of that tribe. They dragged them out and had them killed because they didn't know the customs. You know, that's an extreme example, but, you know, you have to know the customs. You know, you don't want to dishonor the customs. You know, give you another example. I have a cousin. He and his wife used to live in Saudi Arabia. Okay, they had a large refinery there that he worked at. While they were in Saudi Arabia, the women there had to adorn themselves like the Saudi women. The long gowns, head, no hair could be shown, just the face covered up. So, and they had to walk behind the husband. You know. Yeah, I know. You know, but that was the custom. You understand what I'm saying? If you didn't do that, you were violating their customs, and you were subject to their law. Okay, now as long as she was on the American compound, she could put on, you know, whatever she wanted, and she was fine. But once she stepped over into their area, she had to abide by their customs. You know, so just give you an understand what customs is. You have to understand the customs of the land, because you want to be able to minister to the people, and you want your ministry to be effective. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's move on. Giving fear to whom fear is due. In other words, fear means you must honor the ranks and the dignitaries of that land. It is dangerous to go into a different country or different regions and don't know who has rank or who's in authority. Remember I talked about I was in a church and I was there for a funeral. And the first thing I asked was who's in charge? Who's the presiding pastor over the church, over the funeral? And I submitted to him. You know, you need to know who's ranked. You know, it would be a dishonor for somebody to come in this region and start presenting a different money message. It would be a dishonor because God has already place an apostle in this region. And one of the things the author says is it's important that even if you don't see, you know, if you're in an area and you know there's an apostle or a prophet in this area, just to go and sow a seed and let them know that I'm planning on doing some ministry. I've been invited to a church in your region, and I just want to, you know, since I'm in your house, in your area, I just want to, you know, acknowledge you, and I want to get your blessing, you know, especially if they outrank you spiritually, because it's almost like going into your house and just, I'm going to just take the you know, your favorite chair, just sit down in your chair, you know, tell your wife to fix me some food, you know, that's a dishonor to you, you know, you don't do that. You know, I mean, but you see, when you follow protocol properly, you can't help but be blessed, you know, and that's why a lot of times if I'm not sure and I'm asked to do something, I wait till I'm invited. Or, you know, if I go to somebody's house, if they say, come on in, I come on in, you know, have a seat, I'll have a seat. You know, do you want anything to drink? If I do, I say yeah. But I don't go in there saying yeah. Give me a Coke. No, you know, even in just little things like that. But you see, people are coming to a house, a spiritual house, okay, and start saying, well, we don't do it this way. That ain't right. And you know, and start making demands and saying, you know, I think this praise and worship need to be this way. I don't like that. No, you see, that's dishonor. You know, that's, and you see, you can't be blessed by doing that, by just, you know, dishonor, and that's wrong. I'm going to just leave it at that, okay? All right. Fear means reverence. You know, when you are given fear, to whom fear is due, like I said, that's talking about the dignitaries. But the word fear means actually reverence. It's not a scary fear, but it's a reverential fear. Fear here means reverence and respect, as God respects, as a godly respect and a reverence. It's always important to research the area before you go there. When you, you know, even if you go on, like I said, I don't know if anyone here, may have people online, and you may have a what is known as an itinerant ministry, where you go and you minister other places or minister for people. But you got to be, the authors, you got to be cognizant or aware of the dynamics of that area. Don't go and start making prophecies and not knowing what he says, what is the generational words or what the man of God for that region has spoken over his area, because you don't want to say something contrary to what the apostolic word or revelation is over that area. Amen. All right, let's move on. Giving honor to whom honor is due. In other words, you have to honor the anointing that's in the land. It is important that we honor the anointing in the land. I would encourage, I got a few minutes left, 5 minutes. I would encourage that if you are ministering in a particular region as a local pastor or an apostolic gift, it's important that you show honor to that man of God. Show honor in that region. That's so very important. And I'll say it again, because it's in my notes here again. You know, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. It is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. And we already stated what a life source is. So when we say give honor to whom honor is due, we especially mean here that we should honor every life source, somebody who gives and nurtures life. When the man of God is ministering week after week, you know, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Thursdays and Fridays, you give honor to whom honor is due. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes demonic attack, satanic generational curses, all kinds of barrenness and famine takes place when you dishonor a life source. All life sources, you know, all life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. You know, because what it's saying is I'm not respecting God, because you're dishonoring what God has set up, what God has authorized. You know, a lot of times you may say something contrary to somebody. And we'll give you an example. Miriam, when she dishonored Moses by speaking against Moses because of the black woman Moses married, she not only dishonored Moses, but more so dishonored God, because he is God's representative during that time frame. And she dishonored God. One other thing I want to point out, because I have about 2 or 3 minutes. The greatest level of dishonor is when a man of God ministers the word day in and day out, and the people don't act on what has been released. You know, they don't profit and they don't benefit. So when you I'm gonna just read it the way it is here. The greatest level of dishonor a church can show towards their apostolic source or their spiritual leader is when the people don't act on a word that has been sown into them. When you don't act on it, when you're not seeing the results, you know, and you're not taking it wholeheartedly, you know, that's when you let the word become too familiar to you. You got to see it as manna coming. Well, it is. It's not you don't have to see it. It is. It's manna coming from heaven. And it's so very important that we receive the manna every Sunday, every Wednesday, tomorrow, we'll receive manna, spiritual manna from heaven. And when we act on it, everything that the apostle said that I put my foot forward and started to work it out, I begin to see fruit in my life. You know, I got about a minute left, 49 seconds to be exact. But, you know, when he started talking about health, you know, and your food, I changed my eating. Like today, I had a black bean burger. I had some Brussels sprouts, you know, and start walking more. You know, matter of fact, today I've walked over 11,000 steps. I've walked over 5 miles today. My watch tells me how many steps I walk. It tells me if I sit down for over an hour, it tells me it's time to get up and move. You know, so I started incorporating. He said, I walk 2 miles a day. Okay, I go to work. I go to work early. I go to the gym. Then I have a 6:30 meeting. After the meeting, I walk a half a mile to a mile. And then later on, about 9 o'clock, I walk a little further. But you see, I'm beginning to see the benefits, you know, because I'm applying the principle, the teaching. Amen. My time is out. All right, you guys, we'll see you guys next time. Everybody, I know we'll do well on the test. Amen? All right.